You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Jesus' Feet. And I want you to turn to, primarily this morning, to John chapter, well, you're going to look at John 12 is one of the places we're going to be, and then Luke 10. But let's start with the Luke 10 passage. This is a very simple story. There's a couple of stories I want to read you and look at some words in them. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and you'll see in a minute that village was Bethany. There's a city near Jerusalem called Bethany. That he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And if you look at the passage, the context earlier in this chapter, he had sent out 70 disciples, two by two, giving them instruction to go into a town, don't go from house to house, pick a house, stay there, let them feed you, let them take care of you, be in that house. So he goes into the city of Bethany, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Okay, now this is very normal. Maybe you do or do not know this. I'm not saying she had this gift, but the gift of hospitality. Does anybody know? Maybe you do. I'll just tell you. Hospitality, the word in Greek, is two words that means this: lover of strangers. If you have the gift of hospitality, it's not that you can set a table nice. It's that you love strangers. And if you've ever known someone like this, they can meet an absolute stranger and say, well, why don't you come to my house for lunch? And some of you'd say, I'm not letting some stranger in my house for anything. You know, they may be some serial killer. So you're not letting them in. But if you've ever had a mom or known someone, man, they can meet anybody, say, well, come on, we got plenty, come to my house. They don't have the gift of hospitality to set a table. They just can love a stranger just like that. So Martha, and you'll see here, they enter this city, and we don't have any indication that Martha knows Jesus, but she welcomed him into her house. Now, there's two women in this passage. One of them is Mary, and one of them is Martha. Mary is introduced in verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So Jesus comes into this house. Now guys, I pray this stuff and I'm hoping and praying again this morning. Please do not just go to the scriptures and try to get technicality things out of it and say, okay, well, there's the story, here are the facts, let's get out of here. Try to see what's going on. Ask God to open your eyes and show you this is a house. This is the God of the universe and a man. He comes into this town. Mary meets him and says, come into my house. Why? I don't know, but she welcomes into her house, and she's got this sister named Mary. And Jesus comes in, sits down, and Mary, for some reason, goes in and sits down at Jesus' feet. Now, there's two women in this story, and they're completely different women, and I don't know what kind of women you have in your life, but I know both kind of women. Anyhow, we'll leave it at that. She had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She sat down and listened to what Jesus had to say. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Verse 40. I'm going to read it again. Martha was distracted with much serving. There is a time to be and there is a time to do. And I'm not knocking doing. But guys, there is a time to be. And if you don't take time to be who God wants you to be, my contention is you will never end up really doing or do for the right reason what God wants you to do. Now, church in general, religion in general, as I said before, religion starts on the outside and works in. God starts on the inside and works out. God is more interested in who you are than what you can do for him. And you're never going to really do for him for the right reason what you're supposed to do until you get at his feet and be still and shut up and listen. And find out who he is. Find out who you are and get in a relationship that is solid enough where you can move out of that relationship and hear God saying, do this specifically. Don't just go being busy. And it says here that Martha was distracted by her much serving. Now, I'm going to read you a definition here for this word distracted. It means to draw around, to draw away, distract, to be driven about mentally, to be distracted, to be overoccupied, too busy about a thing. Now, I don't have to leave this room to identify plenty of people, me included sometimes, who are busy. You are nothing but busy. And you might even be busy about religious stuff, God stuff. And you're running here and you're doing this and you're helping these people and doing this and doing that and you're busy. And if anybody followed you around, they'd go, oh, what a great godly person. My question is not, are you doing God stuff, but why are you doing it? Do you know the God you're doing it for? Have you spent time with Him and the reason you're doing what you're doing is because He has spoken to you and said, do this. Now, listen close. I'm not knocking being productive. But there is a point in time when, especially if you've got the God of the universe in the flesh, in your house, forget the house. It's not about letting the house go. It's not about letting business go. But when Jesus shows up, guys, you better be still and listen. And you better have a time and a place where you sit at His feet and just listen. And so many times people say, well, I pray. Think about what you're saying when you say, I pray. Are you having a conversation with God or are you lecturing God? A conversation implies a two-way communication. And so many people fly through their list and say, well, God, well, I'm in a hurry today. I got to get here and do this. I'm real busy and I got to go, but here's my stuff and I want you to take care of this. And about the time He goes to open His mouth and say, okay, well, about that first thing, you're gone. We can't be still and listen and just know that He's God. I'm going to challenge you something this week. Pick a time, pick a place, go in that place and say, God, I got nothing to ask for. I just want to sit here and see if You got something to say. And you may take your Bible with you and open it and read it and say, God, I'm not asking for anything. I just want to hear from You. I want You to talk to me. I just want to be with You. Now, see, women are awesome about this and men are a disaster about this. I have a wife who wants me to be with her. And on a Friday, all I have to do, if she wants to go to some discount shop, Salvation Army thrift store, it doesn't matter. If I am there, I don't have to say anything. I don't even have to like what we're doing. All I have to do, and she's not in the room, so I'm fine. I can work this a little bit. I may hate where we're going, and I'm telling you, it's taken me 11 years of kicking and screaming, but I'm close to realizing that my wife wants me there. She just wants me with her. And you know what I'm learning from that? He's the same way. He doesn't want me coming all the time asking for something. Sometimes He just wants me to get in a room with Him and just be there. And me just realize who He is and who I am and the difference that He's made. And I'm telling you guys, if you'll just be still and let that happen every once in a while, you'll find prayers coming out of you. You'll find songs coming out of you. You'll find yourself, instead of asking for anything, you'll start telling God stuff, how awesome He is. You talk to couples that get married, they grow apart. They used to, when they got together, now think about this, track this. There's some of you in the middle of this right now. This is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Somebody starts dating. They're busy people, busy people. Man's busy, woman's busy. They meet somebody, they've got hours on end till 3 in the morning. They talk till 3 in the morning. On the way home on the cell phone, they call back. Oh, I'm in the car. I'm at the stoplight now. I miss you. You know, like, what are you talking about? They get home, hang up, pick up the phone. Well, I made it. I'm safe. I'll see you in the morning. You know, they wake up, have breakfast together. You're like, what is wrong with these people? Now, let me ask you, what happens to these people? They're madly in love. They can't get enough of each other. They just want to be with each other. Can't keep their hands off each other. It's just, if you watch this stuff, you're like, oh, get a room. You know, you just, you know what's happening, but it's hard to watch. But then if you track those same couples and what happens, they get busy again. And the simple thing that they used to do of just being together, talking about nothing for hours, that made what they have so sweet and got them together in the first place, is what's missing and what tears them apart in the end. It's relationship. Now, I'm recommending, in light of that comment, that if you're married, you're in a relationship, especially if you're married, go somewhere. I'm trying to figure out in September somewhere to just go, not as a cruise director with my whole family. you know, with the kids, but go somewhere with my wife. And you know what? Just be with her. Not necessarily take a book I want to read, but figure out a way to be with my wife. Now, women understand this. Men need to understand this. But we all need to understand it in relationship to God. You are going to have to stop, or listen to me, He will stop you. And it is better to stop by choice and check in and spend time with Him than for it to come to a screeching halt. And if you have ever been in a relationship where you were close and you pulled apart, you know that when things start falling apart, there are things that get your attention when it starts to unravel. And you either go farther apart or you start to communicate again. Maintain this relationship and communicate with Him every day. And don't always go banging on the door asking for something. Just hang out with Him sometime. And you say to me, well, what does that mean? Find out. If you're so busy you don't know what it means to sit down with somebody and just be with them, then you need to just start doing that with another human being. Look how it unfolds. Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Him and said, now look at Martha. Martha comes out of the kitchen. She is busy trying to impress God, literally. She is in there whipping it up, going to bring out some kind of deal and go, look at this spread and what I got for you. But she is getting bitter. Now, I'm going to tell you how you know whether you're a religious person or someone that has a personal relationship with God. When you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you may get frustrated with somebody, what they're doing or not doing, but you're just enjoying so much what you're doing, it really doesn't get you bent out of shape. If you're a religious person, you start wagging your finger going, well, so-and-so ought to be doing this and that, and why aren't you, you know, you get bitter, you get resentful. If you start feeling that way, get back in your closet and say, God, something's getting out of whack. Because now I'm starting to look at other people and get frustrated. She comes in and look what she's saying. Lord, now she is talking to Jesus. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to get up here and help me. Sick God on her. I'm in this kitchen all by myself. She's in here sitting at your feet. What are you people thinking? I'm not asking you to help me, but at least tell her to come in here and help me. I got you in my house for a few minutes. I'm going to impress you. I need some help in here. I don't want to do this by myself. Now listen to Him gently. And it's interesting whenever you hear things twice. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you just don't get it, do you? Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Now let me read you the definition here of worried and troubled. Worried. To be anxious, to be troubled with cares, to care for, look out for a thing, to seek to promote one's interests, caring or providing for, and then troubled, the word in Greek even is an awesome word, turbazo. Man, that sounds like trouble, like turban, all kind of stirred up. To disturb, to trouble, to be troubled in mind, disquieted. Jesus knew it wasn't just about serving food and preparing things. Martha was just disturbed. She was worried. She was troubled. She was all cranked up inside. It is possible, guys, to be busy on the outside doing things and to be at peace on the inside. Martha's problem was that she was busy on the inside and the outside. She had no peace anywhere. Now listen close to this. Part of the reason people stay so busy on the outside and can't stand to stop and be alone and listen to God or even try to listen to God is because they're so stinking stirred up on the inside that if they really stopped and thought about how miserable they are, how frustrated they are, what they're going through, they'd have to think about it and do something about it. And they say, you know what? I don't even want to stop. If I can just keep going, I won't have to think about it. Right? I mean, it's like if you're driving your car down the road and you start hearing a clicking sound, that tick, 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 tick sound, that doesn't mean you're supposed to speed up and drown out the sound, which I've tried myself. Oh, maybe I'll just circulate that oil a little bit more, and you gun it and take off, and brrr, the engine roars, and you can't hear that little ticking. But you know what? It's still ticking, and it's going to get worse, and you're going to blow an engine. When you start hearing that ticking sound, what do? You pull in somewhere for some maintenance and say, you know what? This is going to create a problem if I don't address this. But we just keep going. We add more stuff, do more stuff, go somewhere new, try something else, and wonder why it just gets worse and worse and worse. Stop! The verse is in there for a purpose. Be still and know that I am God, He says. The being still has something to do with knowing that He's God. worried and troubled. Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Now, guys, listen to me. If the God of the universe in a man says this, one thing is needed, you better pay attention. Jesus said to Martha, one thing is needed. What is it? And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Mary made the right decision. What did Mary do? She sat at Jesus' feet and listened to His words. She got still and spent time with Jesus. All right, turn over to John 12, if you got it marked, and I'll read you this quick and we'll go. And I'll give you some other places where this woman is. There's a story I don't have time to read you, but Mary and Martha had a brother named Lazarus. And for some reason, these aren't lifetime buddies as far as we can tell, but Mary, Martha, and Lazarus became close friends somehow. And on a day, Lazarus died. He died. And Jesus was nowhere to be found. They sent for him. And by the time Jesus got there, Lazarus, his friend Lazarus, has been dead for 3 days. He's been embalmed. He's been wrapped. And if you read the story about it, somebody goes in the tomb and it literally says he's starting to stink. He's decomposing. And Jesus, long story, steps up to this tomb and calls out Lazarus' name. He's dead. And he says, Lazarus, come out. And this dead man, they go in after him. He comes out in these grave clothes, wrapped. And Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. And if you read the story as it goes on, the Jews didn't just try to kill Jesus. They tried to kill Lazarus. You know why? Because so many people believed on Jesus because of what had happened to Lazarus. And I'm going to say this as somewhat of an aside. If something happens in your life and Jesus changes your life, someone's going to want you dead or want you out of the way or out of their life. Do not be shocked that people hate you. Jesus said it. Marvel not that the world hates you. They hated Him, they're going to hate you. I did a funeral last Sunday, and when it was over, not everybody was happy with what I said in this funeral. And I walked out into the crowd. There was three people sitting, and I walked up to them and shook hands, said, how are y'all? Who's your friends? And they told me who it was. They're from a completely different religious background, or kind of everything, anything goes. And I spoke and tried to be cordial. And after about so many seconds, I kept trying to ask more questions and carry on a conversation. And all three of them just stared at me, just closed their mouth. If they'd had a gun, they'd have shot me. Just stared me down like, we have nothing more to say to you. They were spitting mad. And there was a day in my life where I'd have gone, oh my gosh, they don't like me. You know what? It wasn't about me. It wasn't about liking me. Get off of this thing worried about it. If I had met them on the street at some Kiwanis meeting, I'd have been a great guy. But when you stand up and open your mouth and speak the truth, somebody is not going to like it. Get over taking it personally. Speak the truth in love, but speak. They wanted in this story Lazarus dead because of what Jesus had done in his life. John 12, verse 1. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. And look, it's just a little humor in here. And Martha served. Now, I'm telling you guys, there's a lot of humor in the Bible. If you'll just read it and pay attention. There they made him a supper and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Now, I don't know where you're going to go with this, but I'm trying to get you to get the spirit of this thing, not just the words. At some point in your life, if you have taken the time to spend time with Jesus, it's going to cause you to do some extravagant things that you would not do otherwise. Then Mary, verse 3, they're having dinner. They made Jesus a supper. They're sitting at the table. Mary takes a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, and she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. She goes and gets this expensive ointment, and it says here in a minute what it was valued. This ointment, this stuff she got, was a year's salary in that time. It was worth a year's salary. And she goes and gets this thing and pours it over Jesus' feet and then wipes his feet with her own hair. Now, guys, that's close, and that's expensive. Now, let me tell you something. Sooner or later, the closer you get to Him, the more extravagant you're going to be about giving who you are and your life and time and resources to do something to Him to express that. Now, people say, well, they're going to go off and talk about money. Let me tell you something. I don't need your money, and God doesn't need your money. If the whole economy falls apart and nobody in this church has a dime and I can't be paid a salary, you know what? I'll go get a job somewhere and we will keep going. But sooner or later, you're going to have something well up inside of you and you're going to want to do, you're going to want to give, but it's going to be for the right reasons. I've been in churches where they get up and bang on a pulpit and beg and plead and coerce and try to get people to write checks, and if they don't get enough, they pass the plate again and try it again. We're not going to do that. Because I want you to give it out of your heart. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. When you spend time with Him, why do I keep harping on this? Because if you have a church filled with people who know God, Paul said, and I can't remember where it is, in Philippians 3:10, write this down, that I may know Him. Paul said, I don't want to know stuff about Him. I want to know Him. Talking about God. I want to know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable to His death is what it says in that passage. This Mary comes along, pours His stuff over His feet, wipes her feet with her hair, and it says, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. And I don't want to extrapolate this too much, but I'm going to tell you something. If you just show up religiously at church to punch your card and get out, you're missing something. But I'm going to tell you what happens when you really have church. People show up, and maybe one of the most important things we do, we offer up worship, we sing, we praise Him. But when that basket comes by, some people go, oh, crud, I got to write another check. You know what? I almost want to say, just keep it. Because when that basket goes around, whether you put $5 or $500 in there, when it's done with this motivation, I believe somehow there is a smell in the room. There is a smell in heaven. The same way when she broke this expensive, costly thing and wasted it, supposedly, on Jesus. Now look what this crook says. Verse 4. Then one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray Him, said, look at his motivation. Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Why did she waste it? We could have taken this money. Verse 6, this He said, not that He cared for the poor, but because He was a thief and had the money box, and He used to take what was put in it. He knew that if they had sold the deal, He could have figured out a way to steal the money. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. Now a great many of the Jews knew that He was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might also see Lazarus, whom He had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the Talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Now go back, you don't have to turn back over there, but let me ask this question and we're done. Luke 10, in verse 42, He said, one thing is needed and Mary has chosen that good part. Here's my question. Have you chosen that good part? Are you some kind of religious nut that's just a do-gooder that just jumps through all kind of hoops trying to impress God and everybody else? Let me tell you something. You're not going to impress God. He's out impressed anybody. He laid His own Son's life down so we could even have relations with Him. You're not going to impress Him. What God is interested in is time with you. And because of that time and out of that relationship, then you serve Him. It's not that you don't serve Him. But it's not out of being distracted and troubled and worried and all cranked up all the time, busy. And stuff like this, frankly, guys, can run some people off. You say, well, I don't want intimacy. And most people don't. Going to church is a no-brainer. It is easy to go to church. Being the church is the challenge. Anybody could be a husband for an hour or two a week and probably be a pretty good one. But being it 24/7 is a different story. If you're going to walk with Him, you're going to talk with Him, then He's going to work in you and through you, and He will not only change your life, but people's lives around you. But you're either a Mary or a Martha. And I think Mary got it right, and Martha probably came around. She figured it out after hearing Martha, Martha. And maybe she understood she could let the house go and spend some time at His feet. Sooner or later, you're going to get to a point in your life where you're going to let something go because you realize nothing takes the place of being at Jesus' feet.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.